This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, so we'll get back into some of the sighting stuff, but I wanted to focus a little bit more about CubeSat. So you're going to put up this satellite in low Earth orbit. What do you hope to measure? What kind of equipment are you going to put on it?
Well, primarily, the first edition we had were cameras, and we will have two cameras, one facing Earthbound and then one facing towards space. Now, the Earthbound camera, I've been recently doing a bunch of image analysis just based on the live feeds of the ISS and taking a look at that. And it is going to be difficult to actually pick out objects on the Earthbound range unless it's at night. If a UFO is lit up at night, then we're going to get a nice few pixels of light there. The Spacebound also will be better in terms of capturing an object that's reflecting something. I mean, at that point, we're going to have to determine, was that another satellite? Was it space junk? Was it reflecting or emitting its own light source, etc.? So we'll have the cameras. There'll be high-def cameras that we'll be able to capture as much as it can based on its pixel count. We'll be removing the infrared filters that they put on a lot of cameras just so that you get a nice image without all the extra infrared. We'll be removing that filter. So we'll get the additional information of infrared spectrum that should be able to help. I'd say maybe it'll double our resolution. Then we will have, I had thought that high energy ionized radiation would be a good idea. So we'll have a Geiger counter on there. These things are usually directional, which will make it a little difficult unless the radiation readings spike all around our satellite. But in my research of UFO phenomenon, or where people have actually claimed that they've experienced like a landing, like there's one in the UK there in the forest. There's a few others I researched. They tended to mention electromagnetic radiation spikes during these events. So I thought, well, then we should be measuring that as well. So we're going to measure electromagnetic. So we've basically got higher energy particles, electromagnetic, and then the visual and the infrared with our cameras.
You know, there's two sensors that you really should consider. And that would be the gravitometer to measure changes in gravity, and also a magnetometer to measure changes in the electromagnetic spectrum. Those are two forces that we are fairly certain are involved in UFO propulsion. And also, you know, the types of effects that are reported by witnesses, car electrical systems crashing, that sort of thing, changes in the Earth's gravitational field, or the amount of gravity is being affected by another gravity source, things like optical collapsing of horizons, for instance, of footage taken out of airliner windows, and the intense gravitational field actually optically bends the light. So those are two really important ones. Something like a radiation detector, I think, would be fairly, it would be superfluous, I think. I don't think it would really have that, you'd really learn much from that. Especially because in space you've got so much radiation bouncing around already, it's going to be ebbing and flowing all the time.
Yeah.
But changes in gravitational intensity, and also changes in EM intensity, is really important. Those are two sensor arrays that are, I think, crucial. Optically, scientists aren't really that impressed by optical information. They're impressed more with measuring other types of energy.
Yeah, I agree. And we do have the magnetometer on board. We have a three-axis magnetometer, and then we'll also be getting the electromagnetic. The the high energy radiation, the Geiger counter, it's just really light and really easy to stick on there and really cheap. It's only like $100. So
yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
yeah,
you're right. Like, that may not show anything because there's also something we need to worry about that's, what's it called? The something anomaly. It's over, I think, Antarctica. It's this high radiation area that potentially our CubeSat will have to pass through on each orbit. Hopefully we'll miss it, but there's a chance we're going to be going through it. We're going to try to harden the satellite so that it doesn't get damaged. But in the past, this little anomaly, this anomalous area has actually shut down satellites. So yeah, I mean, if we didn't know about that, we'd think, oh wow, there's definitely an anomaly happening every time we go over the Antarctic.
Right. I hate to be the negative nabob here.
That's okay.
But the one thing that I'd be most concerned with is having some sort of anti-satellite defense system, because chances are there'll be certain other neighbors in space that will be a little bit, I think, challenged by your project. And, you know, people have often joked with me that the one thing I need to be concerned with in the San Luis Valley with my three camera array is somebody flying by and zapping my cameras. And the same might hold true for you.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to maybe stick a radar unit on it to detect incoming anti-sat weapons.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that posed quite a few times, usually in the comment sections of articles and such. People will say the government's going to shoot it down and whatnot. And I mean, I suppose if that happened, that would just be a little bit of confirmation that maybe something is going on in space that people don't want us to know about. And as costs come down, I mean, maybe we'll just send up more and more.
Yeah, well, I said that kind of half in jest, but I've been told by a friend who was involved in most of our highly classified detection equipment up in space that since the early 90s, every satellite system we've put up there for the Department of Defense has also been pointed outward. So
really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Well, I don't know if it's crazy, but it has a ring of truth to it. And this is somebody that worked on everything from Apollo all the way through to the early 90s on our very classified satellites that we have up there, with all bristling with detection arrays. Now, in terms of your camera, since you're relying heavily on the G-Wiz factor, which of course is optical data. What kind of camera are we talking about here? What should give me a sense of the actual resolution of the camera? You're talking 16K, 4K, what?
I think it's 4K. It's changed a few times, so let me see if I can actually find it here. It was, what was the one we were using?
This is where we do spontaneous radio. Instant research, yes, sir.
It was DSCS, let me just quickly, ESC 2860.
Well, at what distance can it, I mean, because past the distance, a camera that could fit on a satellite that size is not going to be able to detect anything over, you know, anything under a mile at that altitude. You're only going to be picking up motherships. You're only going to be picking up grandmotherships. And you have a very small chance of getting motherships.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be similar to the camera that's used, the high-def camera on the International Space Station, which, like, when you look down, you're going to see a whole bunch of clouds, you're going to see some ocean. And yes, if it were, you can barely make out a plane. A plane would be a couple pixels.
Right.
So in terms of that, we would be hoping that it would be closer and that we would be lucking out coming across something.
Yeah,
Again, it would be nice to have several of them spanning.
Well, a whole net of them would be ideal. Then you could cover the whole thing like a blanket. But, yeah, so in other words, it's almost like playing the lottery to go up there because you never know.
True. Yeah, it is true.
Yeah.
We'll get into more of the CubeSat program and the plans and the hopes and the dreams with Dave Cote. And Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're going into space, maybe, with CubeSat. Dave Cote is part of the CubeSat for Disclosure project. So let's look at where we are now. And obviously, you haven't built the satellite yet, so things can change. Right now, the basic hope is that if you capture a UFO in terms of a photograph, it's got to be a pretty big UFO. It can't be one of the normal, so-called normal-sized craft, right?
Unless it's close. I mean, if it's within our field of view and it's high enough up in the altitude, which, I mean, based on anything, sightings that, like any sightings that I've had, or a majority of the sightings that I've heard about, they're usually quite high up in the lower atmosphere. So I would hope that we may capture something around that range in the, like, low Earth orbit, basically.
Are you going to have optics also facing outward or just down?
Up and then down. We're aiming for a kind of a fisheye parabolic lens that will extend our field of view beyond what it would normally be capable of.
Right, so like an all-sky cam type.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are cameras that don't have the fisheye distortion that you can use that have a tremendously wide field of view.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we'll be aiming for. I mean, we probably will not see the actual horizon, like dipping beyond the horizon, but we'll get a large portion of the sky around the satellite itself.
Now, this is obviously very much dependent on luck. That number one, there are mothership-sized craft flying about, that they would get close enough to you to be able to detect them.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be a little critical here, but I understand the nature of what you're doing, what you're trying to do. The chances for success are fairly low, aren't they?
I wouldn't go as far to say that. I mean, based on the sightings that do occur, I think we have a pretty good chance. I mean, it's going to be up there for 3 months, so that's quite a long time. I think the amount of photos, we're going to be taking close to 1 million photos that we'll be going through. So I think we have a pretty good chance of catching something, at least some anomaly of some sort.
Have you considered some sort of software that would be triggered like by motion? In other words, detect motion and then use your optics to focus in and follow and track motion?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm actually working on that right now. I've been writing software that we're going to be putting on our boards, and it's specifically does exactly that. It will detect motion, changes within the image, and then will allow us to refocus. And we've got some magnetotorquers that will actually allow us to move our cameras, move the sat, and focus on an area that we wish to focus on. So it won't be so much random. We will actually have some control and some automation in the process.
Very, very exciting. Is it going to be open source? Could I borrow your software?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been putting the word out through MUFON. I know there's a few groups that have been having a difficulty with that exactly.
We have too.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I'd love to share it. I'm definitely, everything will be open source.
Oh, man.
MUFON is sometimes...
If you were a girl, I'd kiss you.
Let's just stop the grisly stuff here. MUFON tends to be somewhat difficult.
Yeah, they have been difficult to actually get through to talk to someone. Took quite a while, but we ended up being contacted, and they did an article for us that they agreed to put it on their site. We had started out reaching out to different MUFON branches, like they'll have different MUFONs per state, and we had no success at all. And then Dave Schock, who's involved in the project as well, he had a contact that I guess works for the big MUFON, like the umbrella of them. And they ended up sending someone out to do an article on us and stuck it on their website. We're probably going to be going out in their little brochure they mail to everyone. So hopefully Dan Aykroyd's going to be looking at it because he's got his lifetime subscription to them. But yeah, they ended up coming around and being quite helpful. So we were really pleased with that.
Well, if you need some help at MUFON, let me know, because the head of MUFON is a friend, and I've known Jan Harzen for years. And if you need any sort of, you know, adrenaline shot for the process, let me know. And we, here at the Paracast, we're more than willing to help well-conceived projects, so especially when it comes to networking with other like-minded individuals. So just let us know, and we'll help in any way that we can.
Let me ask you a question here, too. And that is, once the satellite is aloft, and I'm going to assume here this is all going to come to pass, the project will be successful, You'll get a satellite up when you want. Okay. Now, what means are there to detect the signals? Is this something that can be measured around the world, or do you have to be in specific locations, or what?
Well, initially we were going to go through ham radio, but this was not feasible. I mean, we'd have to have such a network of ground stations all over the globe. The data rate was so slow. So what we ended up doing is we were talking to a company called Near Space Launch, and they work directly with Globalstar, who has their network of satellites all around the globe up there. And they sell services for sat telephones. Various different companies will purchase their data services. So we're getting a modem from them, and then we're just going to pay them a monthly data amount. So this is great because this will allow us to have, I think it's like 98% global coverage. There might be a couple areas in the ocean that you'll miss a few minutes, but also we'll be able to log in either through their website or receive emails of our data, or they'll help us integrate it right into our web, our own website. So that's how we're going to do our data, and it gives us a much higher data rate. The only limit then becomes cost.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how much is this going to cost a month?
Well, right now we're looking at, there's a package that's about $3,000 a month, which we should be able to do that. Now, this would allow us a constant stream, maybe every 3 seconds or every 5 seconds, of a small image. It's probably up to 200 kilobytes, which is tiny, and it still has a resolution that's 1900 by 1900. So the resolution's good. And then what we could do is stream that, and it, we'd have a, on our website, like an image every 5 seconds. So kind of be like a really low frame rate video. And then if we can perfect the software enough that the anomaly detection gets really good, when it detects an anomaly, it would send a high def image. And I mean, if we could keep it down so it wasn't sending more than like one or two a day with real anomalies, then we could keep the data cost down. But if it starts sending high def images every second, then we're screwed.
Oh, that's a huge amount of data.
Now, if this is posted on your site, therefore anyone can go to your site and see the signals, the transmissions as they're received. We're going to ask more questions about that, about the project, where it's going to go, and maybe more about your viewpoints about UFOs, and since this is called CubeSat for disclosure, what do you think governments might know about UFOs? We have Dave Coate joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu. I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, a place for mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So the question I asked Dave Cote is, based on what you're telling me, once this is up, once this is launched, once this is working, we can go to your site and see the pictures.
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I'll go further to say I'm working on the software now, and I've just been coding like crazy. And what I'm using is, because it's freely available, we've got the International Space Station's high-def cam that's similar to the camera we'll be using in terms of field of view. I'm running the software on that camera, the live stream. And I was thinking of actually maybe in the next few days putting up a dummy website that would stream their pictures and just do a mock scan of anomalies just to get a feel. I'd like to also put a comment board and people could comment suggestions. I'm measuring on my own laptop here like how many pictures it's downloading, how much space it's taking up per day. It's pretty good so far. I mean, it's not going over 3 to 6 gigabytes per day. Now that's the high def images. So it looks like it's starting to work.
Okay, let me ask you here more about this. And that is, once this is up, once you've got your first satellite, and hopefully there will be more, would you consider running images from other UFO detection projects?
I'd love that. I mean, if people wanted to collaborate, that would be wonderful.
You see, that's part of the picture here, is so much has been in the UFO field where there's not a lot of cooperation. But I wanted to go back briefly to your sightings. You've got all this instrumentation that you're contemplating for your satellite. You're seeing UFOs regularly. When you go out to do your sky watching, what do you have with you?
I usually bring myself, a friend, a blanket, and a laser pointer. And recently I purchased a night vision monocular, like a Owl Eye, I think is the brand, something like that, Owl something. I was a little bit discouraged after I purchased the night vision because it basically cut my sightings down to 25%, because I think there's a lot of space junk up there. I saw a few little flashes, not the ones that turned on and moved around, but just little flashes that I thought could be something significant. However, once looking through my night vision, I would see, oh, wait, I can actually make it out. And it looks like a tumbling piece of space junk. So, yeah, usually when I go out, I'll bring a little laser pointer. It depends on whether you believe in this kind of thing or not. But my friend who initially took me for my first sighting, the one who had the huge experience, he seemed to think that, I mean, he straight up thinks they're extraterrestrials in their spaceships and they're very connected to us. He had made a few comments to me saying on our first night of a sighting, don't be scared. He said, they can sense it. I mean, I thought this was kind of strange, of course, but he said he'd taken friends in the past who were kind of terrified and they'd see nothing. And then the friend would go off into the bushes to the bathroom and he would see something. This implied that there's some kind of a psychic connection or something. And I don't know how much I put into that, how much I believe in that. But I will say that I tried meditating a few times, and the times I did meditate, we did see something. So, I mean, I don't know how far open your mind has to be to believe that kind of stuff, but maybe there's something to it.
Well, if you're Stephen Greer.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I understand something here, that Stephen Greer is someone who is not one of our favorite people.
No, okay.
You know, we don't see that any validity to his evidence. He's more in it, we think, to make money from having people pay large amounts for UFO skywatch.
Right.
Well, to get trained as an ambassador to the universe with him as our chief representative. I do think that there is a very large untapped potential in looking at the role of consciousness and the UFO phenomenon. Without question, there is a link. How that link can be manifested is still open to some interpretation, but nowhere near enough work has been done in that particular realm. And I do agree that there may be some sort of validity to being part of a co-creative process, shall we say, I think for lack of a better definition. But there is a lot of work that needs to be done in that realm. I'm convinced.
I agree. I mean, I tend to need the scientific stuff, the facts to look at. But I mean, I have practiced some meditation. And like I said, the few times we did meditate at night, we would have a sighting. It was interesting. So, yeah, I think consciousness is, something that's not understood is basically what it is.
Of course, with a satellite, you can't have the satellite do any meditation, but are you thinking that maybe when the satellite is aloft and you know when it's a particular area that's near you, it's orbiting not far from you, that you do a little consciousness work to see what you could generate?
Well, you know, I've never thought of that. Huh. Perhaps we will. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to try, right?
I guess it doesn't, because we're still, you know, making assumptions in terms of what's going to happen here. You have to hope that a UFO is going to be aloft in a low space area at the time that your satellite's in the exact place you need.
I agree. And I tend to switch between the two mindsets of I think we're going to find something to I don't think we're going to find something. And I kind of go back and forth. I mean, I've been writing the software and playing with the space station video, and my software's picking up anomalies and changes in the images, which is great, but I've actually been scanning through them and I never find something, and I get discouraged and I think, man, we're never going to find something, until I realize, wait, this is a NASA camera, and I mean, the outages are about once per hour, I think, on their little camera where they go to blue screen, and that makes me think, how do they have that many outages? I mean, if their oxygen systems had an outage, you know, there'd be some real problems. So perhaps, you know, maybe they are censoring. Maybe they're censoring things. And then I'll jump back to, yes, we're definitely going to find something. And I kind of just keep going back and forth, and we'll just see what we come up with, I guess.
Okay, you have a crowdsourcing project to raise money. Where's that stand?
We are at approximately $30,000.
And you need how much again?
I think we're there. I think we could accomplish a U1 CubeSat at this point. However, we would not get all the instruments we need, as well as the data costs that we're going to be paying for. So right now where we stand is I've written a check to the launch company, Interorbital Systems. $16,625 has been sent to them. We're on their manifest. We're going to launch middle of next year. We should be up on their website soon in their little manifest section. Then I have $10,000, the check's written to Matt Lippert. He's building the satellite with some colleagues out of AFIT. That should be able to buy most of the components. Now, he has mentioned there might be a little bit more because he can't do some of the electrical engineering in terms of if we have to actually custom build some things. So he may have to pay a bit of a salary or an hourly rate to some people. And if he needs to do that, it might cost a little bit more. Then I have a Kickstarter that just finished, and we get probably about $5,000 from that. That's going to go towards the data costs. So okay. That's...
So it looks like right now we have to break in a moment. Right now it looks like you're almost there, but a few $1,000s more wouldn't hurt. We have Dave Cote, and we're talking about CubeSat for Disclosure, launching a UFO detector in space to find them. With Gene and Chris, you're in...
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hey everyone, with 20 plus years as a radio host, I've seen about everything. One thing that keeps recurring though
are these timeshare charlatans, these high-pressure salespeople who get folks to come out to some resort for a special weekend offer. Then they get them in a corner and browbeat them and coerce them into buying a timeshare they don't need, they don't want, and they can't afford. And then they're stuck with that thing forever. Monthly payments, mortgage payments, annual fees that keep going up and up. Well, up until recently, people thought they couldn't get rid of these things. You know, you can't get out of the contract, you can't get out of the deed or the membership. Well, that's not true. My friends at American Consumer Credit, a timeshare release company, can get you free. That's their personal guarantee. 12 years in business, free consultation, A-plus rating with the BBB, they're the real deal. You want to get out of your timeshare contract? Call them now. 800-587-EXIT. That's 800-587-3948. 800-587-EXIT. Call now. 800-587-3948.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let's continue with this now. I assume, therefore, that if people still want to get involved, maybe donate a few dollars or a tax refund or something, they can go to your Kickstarter campaign. Is that where they go?
Actually, now we have it's an Indiegogo campaign. We had a Kickstarter. It completed. So we've started an Indiegogo campaign. We have a link. It's cubesat.tech. So cubesat.tech. That will always point to the current campaign that's running. And once the launch happens, it'll point to our website. It'll have all the images, et cetera. There's a chance we may keep the Indiegogo running for good. I mean, if it seems like there's a lot of interest in this, we could end up putting further donations towards another launch. So I guess we'll see. Like if this is successful and interesting enough, maybe it could be a yearly thing. Like every year we have a 3-month window of looking for phenomenon and keeping the website running and just see what we come up with.
What's the batting average of this launching place in terms of getting satellites into orbit successfully?
I think they have a perfect record. I mean, on their manifest and all their launches, they have made no mention of any failed launches. I think it's like they're quite secretive about their technology, and you know, maybe they've had some failures that they don't mention publicly. But I think some of their secrecy comes from their efficiency. They found a way to launch these satellites like commercially. I mean, they're a private company, and so they want to hold to their secrets, you know, tightly.
Is there any guarantee at all, or is it done without a warranty of success?
There's not a guarantee. So, yeah, if a rocket exploded, we would lose everything. I guess that's just the way that has to go.
Well, I wouldn't want to raise that possibility. Obviously, I hope the thing does work.
They've got a good record, and their technology seems pretty amazing, because I know there's a lot of other companies that are kind of vying for the same technology, which is, I mean, these are not rockets like SpaceX or like NASA, where they're sending things deep space or, you know, lunar or Mars mission. These are very affordable, successful rockets that can get stuff into low Earth orbit, and they seem to have a really good average of getting things there, so...
Since you call yourself CubeSat for disclosure, let's look at the UFO thing for a moment here. And that is, do you think the governments of Earth know something, have guilty knowledge about UFOs, and that if we got them to talk, we'd hear some pretty interesting stuff?
Wow. I guess that's the question. When I first, you know, had a sighting, I didn't think in those terms at all. I was more curious about, you know, what have I seen? But now, being involved and having done some research and having talked to certain people, I think there might be a lot to that, or at least something to that. Dave Schock, who's involved with the project and he's helped quite a lot, he came in because years ago he had had a similar idea to send a satellite for UFO purposes, but that was about a decade ago, maybe longer, and it was going to cost him $200 million to do so. Now, obviously, he was trying to raise quite a lot of money, and a lot of people were hearing about it. He ended up rubbing shoulders with various people. One of them worked for the president's office at the time and kind of gave him some advice and told him that basically he had the okay that if he did get the funding and launch this thing, I guess, long story short, the government wouldn't mind if UFOs were disclosed. But it was kind of along the lines of maybe they've known about it, maybe there's a secret, maybe if they came out with disclosure right now, people get really angry. So maybe they would like if some private citizens figured some stuff out so they could just kind of go, wow, you know, it's there. Interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of interesting testimony from credible, really credible people that seem to think that, yes, the government knows about it. Yes, there's visitation happening, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, tagging the term, disclosure to the project is an interesting choice. I think that could aid you, you know, for the wider population who's interested in the subject and really lust after that disclosure, that magical mm-hmm. day when Obama or Donald Trump, God forbid, trots out the press conference with a little alien hand in hand. And saying, well, we're finally going to fess up and here's our little space buddies. And we've, you know, known X amount about these beings for X amount of years. And of course, you know, half the population immediately would think it's just some sort of CGI trick and that it's not to be taken seriously. And the other half would, I don't think they'd freak out like they did in 1938 when Orson Welles did the fake War of the Worlds broadcast. I think that excuse is not tenable here in this modern age. But the whole idea of tagging that term disclosure onto your project kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit. What prompted that particular decision to put that word there?
I think it was mainly because I think more interest comes to the project as a result of putting it into the category of disclosure. I mean, disclosure implies that there's something to disclose, when I guess the truth of the matter is we don't have enough scientific evidence to say that there's anything to disclose. But, I mean, I kind of think about the testimony that exists from the pilots and military personnel, et cetera, and I think, well, as verbal testimony, that would go a long way in a court of law. If you had that much verbal testimony from that many witnesses, it would hold up in court. So based on that, I'd say, okay, well, that's the disclosure we're going for. We're going to disclose whatever it is that's going on in the atmosphere of Earth.
You thought about possibly approaching other governments who have already kind of opened up their files a little bit, loosened the secrecy of their files a bit, like the United Kingdom, Brazil, France, countries like that, and possibly, you know, talked with some of the movers and shakers in those communities to possibly get some real deep pocket help from, you know, other governments, let's say, you know, put a little more pressure on the U.S., with this. Have you considered that, or you're just going for a complete grassroots crowdfunding thing?
I mean, initially, and still, I'd like to stay as much, I think, away from governments or big companies and try to keep this as much as a citizen-oriented project as possible. I think along the lines of open sourcing it, I think that's a better approach. I think it's more respectable, more believable, more transparent that way. Because if somebody with a lot of money comes aboard, they're probably going to want control. And, you know, then maybe we won't be able to show everyone our software, show everyone every single image. I mean, I've kind of read some things of, one of them, I can't remember who the fellow's name was, but he got involved with MUFON and funding their stars.
His name is Robert Bigelow.
Right, and there was all this kind of conspiracy of, did he do this just as a means to get control of the information? And I mean, whether this is the case or isn't the case, it's like the questions start to arise once big money gets involved, and I don't really want that. I want to keep it, you know, it's a bunch of people putting their money together to do something really interesting.
Yeah, he also is the only private individual in the world that has his own orbiting space station.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
And he's been contracted by NASA to supply modules for orbiting space platforms, Bigelow Aerospace.
That's interesting. Did he have his space station before he was involved with MUFON? That's an interesting question.
That is a good question. Gene, when did he launch Genesis 1?
I will research it.
Huh.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not one to jump on conspiracies, but I think if deep pockets and big money or governments were to jump in and fund our project and give us like $1 million or $100 million, I think then a lot of questions would arise from people. And whether these questions were valid or not, I just think they would arise.
Yeah. Well, Lawrence Rockefeller funded me for 2 years, no strings attached.
Wow. That is cool.
So, you know, there is hope.
That is really cool. Wow.
Before we break, Genesis 1 was launched on July 12th, 2006. That's quite a bit before the connection to MUFON. We've got Dave Coate joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you